welcome to Hot D, the officially unofficial podcast for House of the Dragon on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And I don't know about you, but I think it's the flavor that's so alluring for the moon tea. What? Sorry. It's the flavor. It's not the effects. It's the flavor. People drink moon tea for the flavor, right?
Oh, yeah. You get the 100% moon in there, and you can just taste all the moon. Which I hear tastes like charcoal.
This is a big episode, man.
There's a lot to talk about in this episode.
Two or three times where I was like, boy, they that's the end of the episode. They can stop there. That's a huge development. Holy shit. And then they kept going. And they kept giving me more huge developments.
Should this episode be called Eyes Wide Dragon or Dragon Wide Shut? Because I will say
Blue
that
eyes, Dragon Wide Shut. Yeah,
I've been the last few weeks. I've been reading the Fire and Blood, and I've been guessing where we're going to end up at this week's episode. I was a little like I think they've done a little bit of remixing here. But like, there's another one, like about Daemon being dismissed from the King's Landing. You know, the book is like Daemon comes back here and he offers his crown up to his brother, and everybody's happy because like, the brothers are back, and you know, the realms can be at peace. And then shortly after, he gets dismissed with prejudice from King's Landing by Viserys, and then the Maester Gildane, who's writing the tome, is like, you know, Septon Eustace says this happened, and some other person says this happened, and then Mushroom. Mushroom tales, the tale of deflowering and delight. Like, I felt like this episode really went down on the Mushroom Road, which may or may not be a Mario Kart level, and it goes down. It's got lots of mud, and it's flinging around. I was not expecting how into the Mushroom of it all. And you recall Mushroom is the one in Fire and Blood that there's lots of different sources cited. He is the royal jester, and he's known to always take it into the gutter. So it was a lot, very, very mushroomy, this episode.
Extremely mushroomy. I was frankly shocked how it went from 0 to 100, like, faster than anything I've ever seen, pretty much. At the beginning of this episode, I'm like, okay, maybe there is a little thing between Rhaenyra and Daemon here.
Uh-huh.
And then halfway through this episode, I'm like, yeah. Okay, that went way too... That's some kind of violation of the uncle-niece code.
I don't know.
For a Targaryen, maybe, but...
I think the Targaryens have their own code. Let me ask you this. First question I have... Do you think that this was architected by Corlys and Daemon? Do you think that these are all calculated moves to kind of destabilize and put themselves in a better position, climb that ladder of chaos? Because Corlys is squeezing the narrow, the stepstones, apparently worse than a crab feeder ever did. And Daemon is coming here to get his niece all riled up to fuck a Kingsguard, which... pisses off, like drives a wedge between her and her father. What do you think about this?
I mean, I don't think there's any way Daemon could have known that Kristen would be the rebound here. I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. The way he like starts to get into it and then realizes, I can't go through with this. I don't know if that was just like on a personal level or on like, this plan is just too much. So... yeah, I mean, maybe it's possible. I don't think he could be like, you know, this master architect who says, aha, once I deny her, she will go to Kristen and he will bed her and she will be forever ruined for the other lords. I don't think he could predict any of that necessarily. Hmm. But if he was there to do the deed, then sure, that could be part of a plan.
All right. Well, I got lots of other questions, but I guess I got ahead of myself. I started making jokes and japes and mummers farces. What did you think of the episode? Did you like, we're talking about being very mushroomy. Do you like that mushroomy flavor?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like the stroganoff episodes?
You steep it in a little bit of hot water. Maybe the king's bath water. I don't know what they use. Steep it for overnight. And in the morning you have a nice little, you got plan tea. For yourself, I think.
At this point, I would not drink Viserys' bathwater.
would not either. Yeah,
there's way too much natural broth coming off of that man for me to be interested in any of that.
Yeah, I thought it was great, man.
Okay,
like I said, every other scene was a huge development that could have been an episode ender on its own.
And it was double stuffed. And the only thing I didn't, I was a little kind of like at the height of the Dragon Wide Shut business. I was kind of like, is this too much? But I think they were trying to tell a very particular thing. It's kind of kooky and kind of wild. But like, and I also appreciated the fact that the lighting was extremely dim, and it's very like a suggestion and using your imagination and almost like the hint of what's going on, like the tapestries, the erotic tapestries that Alicent is continuing to import. She's just like got hauls of them now. She can't be stopped. Yeah, that was, but everything else, it's like, I thought it was great to see Rhaenyra kind of talking to her father as a equal. I thought the fact that the blade, what do you think about the fact that the blade has a kind of Lord of the Rings style hidden inscription that only heat can reveal?
I mean, I guess that's fine. That feels very Targaryen to me.
I thought it was pretty cool.
I was more taking note of, boy, that is a red hot glowing blade. And they are holding the other end with no problems whatsoever. I'm still on this heat thing, man. I'm still on this Targaryen's resistant to fire and heat stuff.
If I told you canonically that dagger's handle was made out of asbestos.
Okay, fine.
And that's actually what's killing Viserys, mesothelioma, whatever.
Mesothelioma, yeah.
I can never pronounce that thing right. It's worse than Rhaenys Targaryen. Okay, because,
my feelings on everybody are so topsy-turvy in this episode, too, which is part of what I love about it. Because I really like Rhaenyra, and she's lying and making huge mistakes. But also, I've been a teenager before, and I never fucked my uncle.
Right.
Or never even considered fucking my uncle. But also, I've made mistakes. People have made mistakes in the past. It's been known to happen.
It's been said, yeah.
Yeah, those hormones raging. I feel for her making these mistakes and then lying about it because she doesn't want to get in trouble. Sure, it's a big mistake. And then just Otto. I don't know how to feel about Otto. Like, is he loyal? Has he overstepped his bounds? Certainly he did with Alicent, but where does he sit? Because he comes to the king out of loyalty, I think.
Fuck Otto. Nah, that guy.
I don't think this is a ploy by telling Viserys that Rhaenyra was up to.
Every fucking time this guy's been, excuse me, your highness, it pains me to tell you, but let me tell you what your brother's done this time. Bullshit. Mm-hmm. The fact, like, Rhaenyra has a right of it. Like, this guy has been paying people to follow me around. Like, you know,
I can't remember his name. The bald eunuch from Game of Thrones.
Varys.
Tell me Varys didn't do that. Come on.
Yeah, but Varys wasn't the hand. You got to have like some kind of layer of plausible denial. Say like, look, is this, you know, we both think Varys a motherfucker, but he's turned up some good info here, sire. And I've got several sources backing it up. I don't know. It just feels like here's the thing. Whether Otto is giving what you'd call that good leal service or not, I think that he is compromised. There's no fucking way that ever since his daughter got elevated to the throne and he stands to benefit so much from her, the power flowing through her side rather than Rhaenyra. Like, yeah, he's like super compromised. It's a huge conflict of interest. And I think that he should have been dismissed even if he hadn't have actually demonstrated any. You know, like,
you're probably right. Yeah. I mean, last episode was pretty egregious. Like, let's marry this baby to your daughter so that let's marry your son to your daughter. And also your son's a baby so that I can guarantee my power.
There's still lots of hot D left to talk about. We'll be right back after the break.
Here are the weekly highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Apple TV is releasing a new series based on Blake Crouch's novel Dark Matter. Aaron and I are big fans of his work, so we're picking up the new show on day one. Join us this Wednesday for the preview podcast.
The Shogun Limited series might be over, but that doesn't mean our Shogun coverage has to end. We've got the wrap-up podcast releasing this Tuesday, where we'll consider all your feedback and final thoughts on the series. And because we like the show so much, we decided to go all the way back to 1980 to cover the first TV adaptation of the novel. Do what you can to find a copy and join us this Thursday for the first of our four-part podcast on the 1980 Shogun miniseries.
And finally, the latest first-run movie, The Fall Guy, features Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. He's a stuntman tasked with finding the star of his ex-girlfriend's movie when he suddenly goes missing. Is it a rom-com? Yes. Does that mean I'll automatically hate it? Not if the trailer lives up to its promise. Join us for the podcast on Bald Move Pulp this Thursday night.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was, and those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim, order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar, then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
And now, back to Hot D.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like I said, I think that Otto's dismissal was interesting. Do you have an idea of who would be the next Hand of the King?
I hope it's Lord Strong. Because he's fantastic. And I think Viserys has acknowledged
Strong,
that.
I think is what you're talking about. Because you got Larry Strong, and that's the club-footed one.
Oh, yeah. None of the Strong boys.
The Strong
Daddy
Papa.
Strong. Yeah.
Daddy Strong. Okay. Daddy Strong. Mild. Okay. All right. Awesome. What's your read on Allison's feelings towards the king? It feels like, you know, because I know people are kind of like, she does it. It feels this is very much a duty. It's feeling very dutiful this episode. Yeah. From the
this
cleaning of the
episode, especially.
Right. And I don't think that she's like begrudging it, because I really do feel like she thinks that this is, you know, this is what I was put on this planet to do. And she accepts that in a way that Rhaenyra is like, nah, fuck that.
But I think it's sinking in more, you know, with Rhaenyra. I think that sank in both ways, right? Like Rhaenyra said something about her predicament, which translates directly to what Allison is experiencing.
Yeah.
And Allison realized, oh, fuck, that is my role. I'm just here to birth children and that's it.
Yeah, there's a scene of her caring for one of the newborns, and she's framed in such a way it looks like she's literally in a prison cell.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Rhaenyra is talking about being locked away and made to pump out airs, and I will suffer that same fate, you could see that, Allison, she was hurt to hear that rejected.
That was a great scene.
Did you find it jarring that they were kind of like completely over all their bullshit this episode?
No, I thought that moment was played perfectly.
Okay.
I thought, I've talked about with people just stepping in it, right? Like saying things that they don't realize the implications of until it's out of their mouth. Yeah, she does that. And then she realizes, oh, shit, we're both in this exact same situation. So they re-identify mm-hmm. with each other and they come back to their friendship. I thought it was great.
What do you think about Sir Crispy Kristen getting
where does your oath as a Kingsguard end and your obligation to fulfill the wishes of your princess begin?
I think at the tip of your dick. I think the answer to that question, that's where the boundaries of that fall. Yeah, that's what I would say.
What if the king were to order him?
That's what I said. And they're Targaryens? I mean, he took a sacred vow to, well, gee whiz, you'd have to get Asimov with it because they're supposed to obey all commands from the king. They're supposed to forsake, you know, women and lands and titles. But like, which of those is the he'd probably have to fuck her. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be a leal. Get that true leal service. I love saying leal has entered my new lexicon.
Yeah, apparently. Damn.
When my son forgets to trim the backyard, I'm like, is this a leal lawn mowing? Did you really, you know, I feel like this is kind of shifty and indifferent lawn mowing.
Take the hand of the lawn in from him.
Be gone from my sight.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's a complicated situation. I Kristen was not completely uninterested. Obviously.
No, yeah.
Or I think he says, you know,
but boy, it's funny because there's a lot of choose your own adventure, like I said, in the veering the mushroom. And like the way they shot that, I'm like, boy, this could go either way. Because like every time you looked at his snow white cloak, you know, and then every time he puts the white enamel piece of armor down, I thought he was going to like, I can't do it, princess. Like and I'm like, nope, they're fucking going to do it. Cause they went from the limp Viserys to the full Khaleesi mount. And that's like, all she wrote. Do you think it's going to be an ongoing, cause she's ordered to marry Laenor this episode. Do you think this is going to be an ongoing love affair or is this going to be off the white books kind of affair, let's say.
I mean, once an oath is broken, you can't double break an oath, right? So why not?
I'm talking about from the Rhaenyra's, like everyone's perspective.
I guess if her and Daemon go to a brothel again and he decides, I can't do it this time either.
Do you think do you think that Daemon stuff is over?
No. I think Rhaenyra is just that wild child at heart, and she's going to get it somewhere, whether Daemon's available, whether Kristen's available. I think it's all on the table.
Let me ask you this.
I got something to ask you. Who does she go to if Kristen turns her down?
Rhaenyra?
Who's next in line? Yeah.
Probably Daemon.
Like all who?
Daemon.
No, Daemon's already turned her down.
Oh, okay. So you're saying Daemon and Kristen turns her down?
Daemon started it, got her all hot and bothered. She goes to Kristen. Kristen's like, nah, my oath, my princess. Where does she end up?
Shit. Who's the Grand Maester?
Oh, God.
I can't remember his name because it's not the same as the
older
book.
Than your father. Ugh.
But he knows how to brew that tea, you know? You know, he takes care of his own problems, that man. You got to say that about him. So I got a question about you. I asked this and I thought you would be, this is like shades of the fart heard only halfway around the world, apparently. I thought when things were getting real steamy up against that wall with Rhaenyra and Daemon, because it looked like there was starting to be a transfer of sexual energy from the one to the other. And I thought I heard a slap, and I want to ask you, did Rhaenyra give him the Don Draper, or did Daemon give her a smack across the face, like, settle down, or did I just fucking hear a smack? Am I crazy?
I did not hear a smack. What is Dustin. Don Draper? Can you describe the Don Draper? Is this
so Don Draper, we saw this note several times. Don Draper paid a prostitute or had another woman that he trusted slap him in the face during sex because he's a complicated man with complicated desires. Someone on Dustin 3333 said, is it book canon that Damon can't get hard? I forgot that he had performance problems with Masaria.
Oh.
Is it like the fact that he realized he couldn't get hard and then slapped her? I don't. Was her smiling because she felt down there and there was the red worm was just kind of.
Yeah, like wiggling around in the sky. I don't know, man. I'm getting
multiple smack confirmations from chat. We're getting multiple smacks. So somebody got slapped, and I want to know whether it was Rhaenyra doing a sexual dominant slap or it was Daemon doing a I'm embarrassed I can't get her. Because now I'm like this. Yes, he was unable to perform for some reason.
I think it's also possible that it was a smack from the background, from the vast amounts of sex happening behind them. Because there's moaning everywhere. There might also be smacking around.
I'm getting from the Hot D news desk. I'm getting multiple confirmations. Yes. I'm hearing that Daemon, in fact, slapped the wall in sexual frustration. I'm multiple confirmations now. Slapped the wall in sexual frustration. So,
okay.
That probably because like
has not.
That probably is exactly what happened. Okay, so that makes sense because I knew there was a slap, but it was very filmed ambiguously the who slapped who, and it's like why wouldn't you actually center that action? So if he slapped the wall in frustration, that makes a lot of sense.
See, I was not getting that he couldn't perform. I was getting that he had second thoughts about it. So.
Man, I don't know where those second thoughts came from because he was
slow playing it. I will say it's also interesting that I think Masaria is working with Otto to spy on Daemon.
Why do you say that?
It's this little boy who's running around. It's one of they would be called little birds if this were Viserys or Littlefinger. I don't remember which one had birds.
Varys.
Yeah, it's the same kid running to the castle, or running straight to Otto rather, to say, "Hey, I've got a report." And that same kid runs up to Masaria in the next scene, hands her something, which I assume is from Otto, payment,
gotcha,
perhaps of some kind. That's my guess here is that he's.
So is she running some kind of game on Daemon? She's like pissed off at him, spurned. Yeah. Or gotta is be, this all right? That's one of the reasons I thought maybe there was a little bit more to this. There was a little bit more cunning to this because I would assume that she would, you know, even though her feelings are slightly hurt last episode or the last time we talked, I don't think they were like so hurt that you would betray him to his chief rival kind of hurt. But maybe
this might be a plan all along. I mean, I when she said like I came to you to be free of fear, I said, well, you picked the wrong guy. Maybe she knows that. Maybe he's just a stepping stone to a place where she can be without fear.
All right.
That's my guess.
Did you think that the Daemon's and Rhaenyra's field trip in the King's Landing reminded you of an Assassin's Creed mission?
100%. I wrote like that
when,
in my notes.
When Daemon cut through that group
of
six.
To play Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, when he cut through that group of six dudes in like the white cloaks, I'm like, oh, this is just fucking Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Just swan dive into some hay.
Well, I mean, the people who've been watching live obviously have already referred to some of this stuff. They've been contributing from the Hot D news desk. Do you have anything else you want to talk to? Because I'm sure we've got a lot of stuff to discuss over on the instant talk portion.
Oh, I'm sure. No, I could be talked into talking.
Okay, well, let's get to the instant talk. That is where we will interact with our fans watching live tonight on our YouTube channel. You have to be a subscriber. You have to be a club member to get access to this. It's exclusive to club members. If you want to join the club, it's support.baldmove.com. Just $5 a month. Gets you ad-free feeds, access to the instant talk, and tons of other great content. We'll see you in the instant talk.